Welcome to the 54 Problems Podcast, the global mini golf podcast. Hear from some of the best players in the sport. Look ahead to some of the biggest tournaments and have a chance to win some amazing prizes. And now your hosts, Andrew Edmonds and Simon Brown.
Hello and welcome to a very special Christmas episode of the 54 Problems Podcast.
Woo!
Woohoo!
Yeah!
Yay!
Woo!
I'm your co-host, Andrew Edmonds. Welcome one and all, and thank you so much for joining us. And with me, as always, you are never going to believe it. It's Simon Brown! Hello, Simon.
Hello.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic to have people with us. Because usually there's so much pressure on me to say anything to fill the gaps. And now we can depend on other people. So this is the gift I wanted.
Yep. This is one of only two episodes that we do a year with a live audience. Everyone say hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
So what we're going to do with our audience, as well as inviting them to heckle us at every opportunity possible, we're going to be asking them for some personal highlights from the year 2022, and we'll sprinkle those throughout the episode. So first of all, we have Vanette Block with us, who's just come off the back of an amazing performance at the US Masters. Vanette, can you share with us one personal highlight from 2022?
I was just so excited to see everybody at Wagam after missing it for a few years. So just getting to say hello to folks I hadn't seen in years was wonderful. And that was definitely one of my favorite things from last year. It was great.
Lovely. All right. And we'll check in with the rest of our audience as the episode goes. Before we get started, though, we just have time for my favorite part of the episode, which is to thank our Patreon supporters. We have 5 Patreon supporters with us today. Bolaj, Tom, Pat, Vanette, Sevi. So I can thank you in person, which is rare. So thank you very much for supporting the podcast. A lot of you have supported it for several months and it helps us keep on doing what we're doing. Tom, Pat, I know you both know how expensive doing a podcast can be. So thank you everyone for helping support us and keep going with it. Okay, so in mini golf news, the UK season has ended and the BMGA Shield has been awarded. So across the different categories, in the women category, Shelley Cooper was 3rd place, Maren Hartley was 2nd place, and Rachel King was 1st place. Congratulations all. In category 3, Richard Maud was 3rd place, Rachel King 2nd place, and Luke Ryan 1st place. In category 2, Stephen Skinner was 3rd place, Martin Williams 2nd place, and James Shaw 1st place. And then overall, James Shaw 3rd place, Rachel King in 2nd place, and the winner of the BMGA Shield overall, Luke Ryan. Congratulations, Luke, and congratulations all the names on the list. A big round of applause from everyone. What do we think? Sean, Bonaj, Simon, you were all there. What do we think about the BMGA Shield and the people it's been awarded to?
Well, they played a lot. I think they truly deserved it. I know well Luke has been everywhere, literally all the events. So, yeah, well done for him.
Okay, also at the end of the year, we have the Luke Stars Award. So this is Luke Ryan, the winner of the BMGA Shield, gives out his stars to people who he thinks that have done well over the year. Winning Luke's Rising Stars Award was Rachel King and Richard Maud. The Bronze Star to Andy Exel, the Silver Star to Sevi Kukialka, who's here, and the Gold Star to Nick Harmon. So congratulations to all of those players picking up a star. Sevi, Silver Star.
Did you contribute with the luck?
I tried. I did try.
All right, we've got to tell people what's going on here. So that was Eddie Sutherland. And the joke is, ever since Seve did very well in his first City Golf tournament, Eddie has been nicknaming him the lucky guy. And Seve has told me privately that he absolutely hates it.
I'm not lucky. It's all skill. Come on.
So in other news, the first tournament is taking place. There's a tournament in the US. It's going to be the first of its kind where you can have the option to bet on the results. So the US PMGA is teaming up with Pro League Network, and they run betting options across various sports, perhaps lesser known sports like mini golf is. And the US PMGA is calling this venture the World Putting League. So in February 2023, so it's pretty soon we'll be able to talk about it. At Myrtle Beach, there will be this tournament. And what's being advertised at the moment is that first place will win $5,000. We've got some people with us that are just perfect to talk about it. Tom and Pat and Vanette, I suppose. What are your thoughts?
Has there been confirmation that this event will actually have betting at it? I wasn't under the impression that they were set up for that with like referees and all of that in advance. Like I thought they would do a test run, but it'll be really interesting to see them jump from no referees, not really like spot checking scores and all of that to we're going to have gambling from the public.
It should be interesting. I think they're getting some people signed up for it, so we'll see how it turns out. And it's certainly something different and unusual. I'd love to see prop bets on silly things, sort of like Super Bowl stuff. I think that would be entertaining, you know. But
I'm excited.
It's just nice to have something different, you know. We got to try new things, and that's certainly one of the new things we need to try to promote the sport. So hopefully something good will come from it.
I'm just excited because the Puttcast is going to become the premier gambling mini golf podcast of the United States. So can't wait for ESPN to come knocking on our door and give us a half hour show each week.
So just for clarity, I suppose, I haven't also seen anywhere that it is confirmed there will be betting. I guess I drew that conclusion because Pro League Network are definitely involved. But yeah, Tom, you're absolutely right. It might be a trial run. We don't know. The way I'm looking at it is I'm excited to just get more mini golf media. So maybe more streaming, more event reports, yep, and that kind of stuff. I don't think I will be betting or anything like that. Oh, you know, maybe a little bit of money just for a bit of fun or something like that. But I think it's just a good way to get more mini golf media out of it.
Yeah, more the merrier. There's so little media covering any events in the United States. So welcome all of it. Mm-hmm.
I can share from Sweden that the Swedish Federation is going to live stream a couple of tournaments next year. That's championship great. And the series that's placed. So they invested in some equipment and will, I think, at least 5 or 6 competitions will be live streamed from them.
Oh, that sounds great. We'll have to keep a close eye on that. So in other mini golf news, this is all about PopStroke and its plans for 2023. So recently announced there's going to be at least 7 of what they call PopStroke Tour Series events in 2023. And those will culminate in the PopStroke Championship like we were just talking about. So if anyone remembers when Guillaume Bellin was on our podcast, this is very much what he was talking about with the satellite events. And if you enter the satellite events, you can gain qualification for the main events. So some interesting things there. The first event is going to be January 23rd and 24th in Orlando. So this is one of the PopStroke Tour Series events. That's going to have a $25,000 pot for the single stroke play, and that will cost $300 to enter. And then, interestingly, all of these events will have a high roller element, the highest of which will be $10,000. This one in Orlando is going to be $5,000 to enter with a $60,000 prize pot. It's going to be interesting. We already know that 8 Swedish players are going, and also there's going to be a professional big golf player going who are going to be playing these in these high roller competitions. So it's going to be really interesting to watch. Thoughts, what do we think about that? Exciting news.
Yeah, it's super exciting. I mean, ever since I played last year, or this year even, we're still in 2022, it was such a great experience. So I'm glad they did announce the tour series for this year, for next year. Regarding the high roller, it's just, I think it's slightly a shame that it's such a large amount. I mean, 5,000 is quite a ridiculous amount of money, really, to the average person. I think it's just too much of a risk, certainly for me anyway. But yeah, it will make for some exciting television.
Yeah, $5,000 is more than it will probably cost me to go all the way over to the UK to play in the World Crazies this year and have lodging and food and all of that. Like, I don't know that is going to appeal to anybody other than the people that are the real sharks and the top players, which will be really interesting to see how that plays out. But yeah, that's a lot of pressure, but it'll be interesting to see. It's definitely going to bring new people to the table.
Sevi, would you go back to a pop stroke? So you've already said maybe not as a high roller, but as a regular, entry. Would you go back to pop stroke?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm planning to do maybe 2 or 3 events next year, as well as the final. So, yeah, if I can get to, I'm planning to do Orlando, the first event, next year.
Oh, you are going to Orlando in January?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Plan, okay. Yeah.
No. So, I'll probably do that one, and then they come pretty thick and fast, actually. They're generally every three weeks. So if I can do one every maybe 2 months, for a total of 3 events, I mean, that would be ideal for me. Yeah, I think I think every event next year is going to be not streamed, but broadcast at least the final day, as far as I'm aware. So that'll be good.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see if they can do the same kind of package that they did with the Tour Championship, that solid hour, little bit of a recap of all the play, highlight a few different players each time. If they do that consistently, I think that'll be great, versus it being like just one-off events where it was like, well, you kind of found out about like 5 or 6 people. Mm. And then there was a lot of people that were really talented there that unfortunately didn't make the final cut or didn't get a good edit. They had Frank with some guy from the UK, and they didn't show that guy from the UK. What's his, Svi, something like that.
Suave?
Suave.
No, yeah, Steve Cook, as he books into hotels as.
My theory was that they didn't show much of Sevi because they couldn't pronounce his name and they didn't want to put their foot in it trying to pronounce his name. That's just my theory.
And the fact that I was just playing boring mini golf, really. It was just...
You need to watch Alexander Molina and copy his celebration. That's what I need to see you do, Sevi. Can you do that for us?
That helps if you celebrate like he does, yeah. It does help to get some TV coverage.
I think that's one of the things I enjoyed about the City Golf coverage from the City Golf Tour, was they didn't look at personality, they just looked at who hit good putts. And I know that's maybe not for everybody, but for those of us that love the game, just seeing the top players sinking the aces at the end of the tournament, that was just great footage to look at. I love that.
Tom, you said that instead of paying $5,000 to enter the high roller, you could use that money to fly to England and enter the World Crazy Golf Championships. Is that confirmation that you are going to be doing that, or do you not know yet?
It's only a matter of coordinating it with my wife. I don't think she's as keen to compete, but I think we would still, I would go over early. We'd meet up in London and play a bunch of courses.
Does anyone know if international players are eligible to enter novice, or does being international preclude you from entering a novice?
I think the definition was any recognised international players would not be eligible, but I don't know what classes as
is your wife. Yes, I think I remember that wording as well, and I thought that was funny. Yeah. What does recognised player mean?
Yeah, I think maybe any big name US players that want to sneak in as a novice, maybe if they get themselves suspended from the US PMGA. Maybe that
that's helps. The way to go.
I mean, there's a distinct possibility with people on this call if anybody's going to go out.
Hey, can we take bets on that?
It is off the board on how much Tom and I, I'm sure, are top of that list.
Yeah, well, you can only bet on that in certain states. So,
one final bit then of mini golf news for the year. There is a new mini golf club in the UK, Fox's Mini Golf Club, and the 54 Problems podcast have sponsored them. So we've organised their kits, their equipment, and they're going to be wearing their Fox's Mini Golf Club shirts with a logo of 54 Problems on it. So it's really exciting for us, for Simon and I, and the whole hope is that if members of the public see them playing mini golf and they're kind of interested by it, and they see that they're wearing 54 Problems, they can go, they can look us up, they can see that mini golf is a very serious sport with international tournaments all over the world, and hopefully find out that we're a very warm and friendly and welcoming bunch. So exciting news for Simon and I, and hopefully for the mini golf community as well. All right, it is time to get into the real meat of the episode. For the last time this year, this is Tournament Talk.
Tournament Talk. Tournament Talk.
So even though it was the end of the season, there has been a couple of bits going on, which is always good. I will start in New Zealand this time. So it was the New Zealand Open to finalise their season 2022, and it was over 8 rounds at the Wildwood Mini Golf Course. It's one of those lucky events that the owner of the course is involved in, plays in, and, you know, that obviously adds to what they can do, and they can have a long tournament. It is a £1,000 first place prize and was taken by a name that we all know, Cameron Cooper, with 52 under over the 8 rounds. Second place was Darren Prone, not a name I know, but I believe he's the course owner, so he's quite good. I don't know how we all feel about course owners that insist on playing tournaments of their own courses and then finish second. Say they. I'd like to say I thought of that in advance, but I didn't. And then in third place round in that was Matt Ansley on -39. So that's fantastic. They had sponsors on board. They'd done social media, all the things you want to see. And the course looked fantastic. I don't know if it was a Harris course, but it had that look with the, you know, the sort of traditional square stonework around the edges.
Okay, and so there was the final UK event at Star City this year. Talk us through it, Simon.
So Star City is the traditional end to the BMGA season. It's indoors, which I think we all need at the end of the season in the UK. And it is just, I think it's one of the first, if not the first, indoor course in the UK. Yeah, so Star City is as good as it gets for winter play for us, and it is almost always dominated by one man, Michael Smith. If you know anything about UK mini golf, you know Michael Smith. And as usual, he did what he does. I think it's fair to say, by his standards, he's not at the best of seasons. He's lost the UK number one slot. He's maybe not picked up as many titles as always, but he's been busy. He's not played as much. But he was back on form, and any doubts, I mean, why would you have doubts, are gone. He was 20 under for three rounds on a course that, as much as the aces are there, doesn't mean you're going to make them. So he shot 27, 26, 27. And that was enough to hold off Seve in second place, although it was joint second before the playoff with Richard Jones. They were 10 shots back on minus 18, also pretty damn good, but went to a playoff and Seve picked Richard Jones. But it was a lovely moment because it was Jones's first podium. He's been about for, I think this is 3 years to the event since he joined the tour. And he's put loads in. He's a fantastic friend to many of us and just a lovely guy. And as much as I enjoy practicing with him and going out for food with him, it was nice to actually see him on a podium where he deserves to be. So, just lovely end to the season.
He's come close a few times, hasn't he? I think he's had a four, but he's been close to that top three a few times. To see him get there is amazing.
Yeah, he's one of these players that on his day is close to a podium. But I think most of us know that doesn't mean you're going to translate that into it. But he did. So, lovely. Lovely. Delighted for him. And from a personal point of view, that was a mate of mine. And the other two people on the podium are clubmates of mine. So, yes.
Golf ball only or mini golf balls?
Very technical mini golf ball. Or Euro balls, European balls, if you want.
Euro balls. I think I've coined that, and that's going to stick around. I like it.
No, I like that. I like that, especially at the moment, because for me, it's such a big bit of the game. And I have this, I moan to so many people about this internal dilemma between what's mini golf and what's putting. And I just love being able to finish the season by taking out all my favourite balls and backing them off of different angles. And that's technical mini golf to me, and I love it. But golf ball only definitely is a place and is more inclusive. What's Eddie? I believe a lot of the City Golf events you use as a golf ball only.
City Golf Tour has been mini golf only, except for the first one last year. But from now on, it's decided to only be golf balls. Handed out to the golf balls at the tournament, so you can't even bring your own golf ball. Everyone plays the same golf ball.
Now this is actually one, and there's not many of these, but this is one area where Simon and I disagree. To let you in on some behind the scenes gossip, I like golf ball only tournaments. I like playing with mini golf balls, but I think one tournament a year isn't enough. I think there should be more golf ball only tournaments. Because it's more accessible. So I'm with you, Eddie. I think golf football tournaments are great.
Yeah, I've played 91, and since 2018 I played my first golf ball only tournament. And last year, I played some tournaments with mini golf balls, but regularly only golf ball for me now. More accessible and less training needed. And fair.
With the golf ball tournaments where you provide the ball, do you let them know what brand and what style? So in theory, they could be practicing with that before?
Yeah, we do. So we even sell it beforehand, before the season starts.
Nice.
So people can order it and. And then we have handed out one ball per competition.
That's a novel idea. United States might have to try that one out.
Yeah, we had last year we had the SAGEM, Swedish Adventure Golf Masters. We had every ball had the competitor's name printed on it. So everyone got their own ball with the name on it.
That
was really, really nice and loved by many.
I do think
quality customer service right there.
Yeah.
Eddie, you managed to find a sponsor once for these golf balls, didn't you?
I know where you're going with this one. We had an amazing sponsor the first year named Comfyballs that makes underwear for men. Comfyballs makes underwear for men. So that was a perfect match with their logo on the balls. They jumped right at it. Yeah, and I can recommend their underwear if you see them anywhere.
You can recommend comfy balls.
Yes.
Can you just cut out that part?
Here we go, Tom. Now we know what we need for AMA.
Can you just
sponsors.
Cut out the part where you just said I can recommend comfy balls? There's like a million edits.
Chit.
Yeah, so moving swiftly on, let's pick an order. So since we've been speaking to Eddie, what was your mini golf highlight of 2022?
I think I have to say Vagum. My first time representing Sweden as a player was really big to me and really fun. Didn't play as well as I hoped I would, but there's a first for everything, I think. And I hope to get the chance again and make even better next time.
No, lovely. I mean, the Swedish team, you have so many options of so many top class players. You must just be surrounded by talent the whole week.
Yeah. It's really, really nice.
And Bodash, what about yourself? Any personal highlights for 2022?
Oh, I have a lot. I think the biggest highlight for me is the Vagum as well. Just to represent my country in something, it was a really good feeling. Not just the tournament itself, but everything about it. The journey what we made, the opening ceremony, all the players we met. It was a great experience. I think I had a good year personally in terms of results. I picked up a few medals. I made my own tournament for the first time, and I'm planning next year as well.
Yeah, I think from the outside looking in, that was fantastic to see Hungary at a Wagum, because it's not a name, it's not a country I expected to see, and see that sort of passion that, you know, from a little seed in the UK tour had went all the way to Hungary being at Wagum in almost no time at all was just awesome. And you guys looked the part and the kits you had. Yeah, I think it looked a lot better than most teams. Got a name check Marton for being outstanding at that Wagum.
So looking ahead to January, we have the first Pop Stroke Tour Series event. That's in Orlando on the January 23rd and 24th. And you'll be able to hear all about that in our January recap. I believe also Simon and Tom has some events to share with us as well.
Yeah, there is also an invitational in the UK at the Gloucester course. It'll be the first of the Gloucester Races invitationals for the year. It's not a big deal, but it's a chance for anybody UK-based to get in an event before the actual BMGA season starts. So hopefully see a good couple of dozen players there. So that'll be nice. But it's not quite in Pop Stroke level, is it?
And we have some virtual events in the United States for the American Mini Golf Alliance that Pat and I are part of. We announced there'll be an event on Putt 18 and Walkabout that is open to players from around the world, international players. That's a point scoring event. There'll be more on that. There might even be an episode on the podcast coming about that. And then in my home state in Minnesota, we have a novelty course that's this artist design course called Can-Can Wonderland that's doing a team event that will be the first team event that I've ever taken place in. And it's going to be me and three other AMA members that I've played with in our local league that are going to play in a tournament where sponsors are going to give stuff away at some of the holes. And there'll be like pizza and food and beer, but it will be a 2-round tournament where the top 5 teams will play a second round. So if you go to acoupleputts.com/cancancup, we put a bunch of stuff up there, and I made a very exhausting video of every hole in the course on Tuesday that I'm still recovering from. So please watch it.
In a bit, we are going to announce the 54 Problems Best of 2022 awards. Just before we do that, though, we want to get some more of your personal highlights. Now, a mini golf player called Martin Williams from the UK was going to join the audience. Unfortunately, he couldn't at the last minute. So he sent me in his personal highlight, and I'm gonna read it out, all right? So this is Martin Williams, his personal highlight. Even though I came last, we managed to complete our club invitational at Park Bryne Buck in Tredegar during Storm Eunice. All non-essential travel was advised against due to risk of life, but we played anyway. And then there's a little note here. I have to ask Simon who won. Simon, who won the club invitation at Park Bryne Buck?
Yeah, this is the once every 18 months or so, if not longer, that I get to say it was me. And it's not often, but we had a genuine excuse for why, because of the conditions. It was, without doubt, the most insanely unplayable thing I have ever played in. I took a look at everybody getting so soaking wet, wetter than you've ever seen competitors at an event, and I thought, they're wet anyway, and they've stopped making an effort. If I'm going to be wet, I'm going to double down and make the most effort and at least win this. Because I couldn't understand the logic. We're all going to get wet anyway, so yes. So yeah, that was a nice start to the season. I won the I beat Seve Kukielka at least once prize, so that's always a highlight. I got to live off that for a couple of weeks before I went back to business as usual. Yeah, all good. All good indeed.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. I've got the I beat Seve award at Austria, but unfortunately I won't be able to do it again because I didn't make the Wagon team. Sean, what's your personal highlight from 2022?
It came, I think you guys have already talked about this on the podcast, it came at the crazies this year, and it was the most fantastic par I've ever seen. It was during the team event on the Friday. It got to the final round, and how the team event works is it's groups of three, you play against each other, and the lowest score wins. So we get to the final, it's the last three. And up steps Luke Ryan. Everyone's watching now. Hole five it was on at Hastings, which is the windmill obstacle hole. So you have to play underneath the windmill. As sails are going around, trying to, they'll knock your ball away. So Luke steps up, first shot, pings against the sail, and it comes back. And there was like a collective silent groan from everyone there, if you know what I mean. So we're all...
Yeah.
Rooting to Luke just to try and knock this now close to, as he can to the hole, try and get a three and see if that's enough. Luke steps up, hits the ball, makes an ace with his second shot. Crowd goes crazy, including people across the street on a balcony cheering him on. Fantastic. It was just, that's why we all love the sport, just a collective moment of greatness. It was beautiful.
Thank you, Sean, for sharing that. Yeah, I completely agree. It was beautiful. And the thing is, getting an ace is not just a case of getting it through the windmill. I mean, it's like a 10% ace hole. If anyone wants to disagree with me, feel free, but that's going to be my estimate. Like a 10% ace hole. It is difficult, even if you get it through the windmill. Seve, 2022, one Hello. Highlight.
One highlight. Yeah. I can't have one highlight. I got seven different highlights. Is
Come on,
right?
You did this before when you chose seven, a favourite seven. Course.
Now, I'm going to go with just every trip I've made actually abroad this year. It's been just the experience of playing in different competitions and meeting all the different players that I hadn't met previously, like the likes of, you know, Eddie and all the Swedish guys. Burnett and all the American team at the Wagon, you know, the Czech Republic players. I mean, I've been lucky enough to play in so many different countries this year. So yeah, just every experience has just been, you know, as good as the last. And I'm so glad I had the opportunity to go so many places this year.
Okay, after that total cop-out of an answer, the final thing left for Simon and myself to do is to share our best of mini golf in 2022. And Simon's going to kick us off with an honourable mention.
Yeah, it doesn't quite belong in the top five because you can't attribute it to one person or one body. But I just want to give a massive shout out to Invitationals. I think we get so bogged down in these, you know, high quality events. There's so many amazing things going on, like City Golf and Pop Stroke and the BMGA that we could talk about all day. But it begins with the Invitationals. It begins with one person or one club just inviting a handful of people and saying, why don't you compete? Why don't you make an effort and care? And I think we've seen that more than ever, the transition between people that maybe come along to an Invitational starting to get involved and thinking about it differently. And for those of us, maybe like myself, that don't make the podium every month at the professional events, it is lovely as well to be at those Invitationals, help the next players, but also get that experience of, you know, being second. Not winning often, but being second quite often. So, yeah, I love the Invitational. And they made me fall in love with the game again this year. And I could see what they've done for other players. And some of the best things I played in this year, like Taunton, Prestatyn, just so much less pressure and so much more fun. So big shout out to anybody that went and said, I'll put on an event this year. I think Balash is a good example. You put on an event in Swindon and got some people along and, you know, got some people playing, names I've never seen play before. So that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Okay, so starting the top five proper then. So number five for the Best in Mini Golf 2022 awards, we're giving that to Mini Golf Media throughout the year. I think this has been the best year for Mini Golf Media. Some shout outs go to the live streaming and the commentary on the Wagam this year. That was absolutely amazing to watch along from home on that. And also the live streaming of every City Golf Tour event as well, including the final, which was really, really great. And also just clips on Instagram. I've been watching a lot of Japanese mini golf recently as well, which is awesome to see. But there seems to be more and more mini golf media. Lots of people contributing to this. I'm not sure if anyone here wants to shout out any particular contributors or
I gotta makers. Shout out my podcast host Tom. We live streamed the final round of the Masters with Tom. Had amazing commentary throughout the whole time, and I know that was really appreciated, and I've actually rewatched the whole thing, which is impressive. Yeah. So kudos to him for putting up with us for a couple hours.
I even had some commentary about Pat's potential killing of a bug on hole number five to start off his...
For the record, I am not a bee murderer.
I feel like I had to give a little bit of color, but yeah, we figured out a way to hopefully not be invasive when we were broadcasting, because it is really hard as a competitor. I don't want to be, you know, any way affecting the way that people play. I don't want to be making people nervous. I don't want to be in someone's... I just kind of want to be there for the people that are watching. And I don't know. We figured that out really on the fly. It's like, well, I'm not playing and might as well just like make it happen. And fortunately, Mandy from Putting Penguin did amazing job just following everybody around during the Masters. It's really like a unsung hero, Mandy, who's just been going to the Masters and putting up videos of almost every player, because without that, frankly, there's not going to be any real other videos that come out of that massive event.
And Simon, at number four.
Number four is the AMA. Yes, we have loved having a look at what you guys are doing over on the USA. Yep, from the branding to the enthusiasm to the whole idea to get people together, having fun, playing mini golf. I mean, it is the infancy for you guys. And where you can take it from here and where it goes. Do you even know yourselves? I don't know, but I'm not going to talk about the AMA. I'm going to let you guys do that. How has the last 12 months been?
It's been good. And actually, you saved us from cheating on our 2022 favorite parts, so we can chop off one there. I mean, we had an admittedly rocky start with having to cancel our very first tournament out of the gate, but we pulled it together after that. And I think we just are very lucky, and we've got a lot of tournament organizers, like Tom said, because we've got a variety beyond us, and there's people. We had 9 tournaments, which was at 8 organizers altogether, 7 organizers, something like that. So just a wide variety of people put it in. We had, I think it was close to, if not over, 200 unique players play across those tournaments. So there is definitely some folks who crossed. We had an exciting finish. It came down to the last 2 tournaments of the year, who was going to win there. So everything we could really hope for, and we've been spending the past month or so trying to figure out 2023. So I think there's a lot that we can do. There's still a lot of things that just need to be pulled under the umbrella so that they get the recognition, they get the publicity, we get the people to them. Like Tom said, we had so many more people travel this year. And I think that'll have a benefit, you know, just beyond us too, because it's opened up a lot of people's eyes to, whether it's at other national tournaments, whether it's, you know, Popstroke, USPMGA, WAGM, all that sort of stuff. There's a huge amount of people who we've tried to get into the door this year, and it's been awesome. And if anything, I try to keep Tom and Aaron reined down to try to not to expand too fast, because we're so excited about the possibilities that are out there.
And that being said, we've already confirmed 13 in-person events, and 3 of them are entirely new states. We have one that'll be in Pennsylvania, one that'll be in Ohio on a putt-putt style course, where there's a lot of putt-putt players that have played on it. So really excited about that. And then we're going to have one in Georgia. And I think for us, it's really important as we grow. The biggest things we want are, A, people that are organizing tournaments that know what's going on, that they set rules out, that people will know what they're getting into in advance, and there's a sense of fairness. And then really getting a distribution across the United States.
Okay, and at number 3, and we put this at number 3 because it's sort of in its infancy as well. At number 3 is Popstroke. So it has been massively exciting to see this surge in interest in the sport. Having Tiger Woods post about mini golf events, I think it's really great for the sport. We're going to be watching it very closely in 2023. As we talked about, we have the Popstroke series now. When possible, we're going to be sharing the highlights from those that are on TV, as we have done with the highlights of the Popstroke Tour Championship in 2022. So I think it's massively exciting for the sport, and we're going to be watching it very closely indeed. I think 2023 is going to be the critical year for Popstroke, in terms of, can they achieve what Guillaume shared he wanted to do on podcast, which is to really make mini golf a mainstream event. And we're really, really hoping that that does come true.
So in number 2 in the silver position for me this year was quite a vague one. But I think the most enjoyable thing for me was the amount of first-time winners and emerging talent. I think it's testament to, it could be the new tours, it could be City Golf, Popstroke, the BMGA putting on events, could be anything you look at, but it's just the amount of interest there is in the game and the amount of people coming through. So just from, you know, people I look at and the things I've seen, I mean, in the UK game, we had first-time winners. We don't always have that. We had the shock of James Shaw in the English Open in Cornwall. We had Richard Maud. Maud came through to be successful in numerous events, including winning one and success in Hastings. And then even on the podiums. I mean, I myself had my first podium, but past that, other people that deserve it so much. Richard Jones, as we mentioned, at Star City, finally. And somebody that didn't mention themselves, Sean Stimson, who is with us tonight, took what must be for me, and he won't mind me saying it, the most surprising podium of the year. But if you practice with him, it's not that big a shock. But yeah, Sean, how was that to get a podium in quite a big event in the UK?
Quite surreal, because I've only been playing now on our tour for about 18 months. I think that event was actually the anniversary of me starting to play. So I didn't feel like I was anywhere near top three level, and to get into the final round and you're looking at the greatest British player you've ever seen play the game on one side of you and a three-time world champion on the other side, you know you've done pretty well. So yeah, it was a fantastic moment, and to not bottle it as well in the last round and keep the scoring steady and stay in contention, you know, it was a good experience, a really good weekend.
Yeah, and I think for me that's just been one of the highlights of the Hung season, has been, I felt like every event or every second event somebody had the moment that they had their breakthrough. And not just in the UK, but looking further afield, Andrew will be able to talk better about this. We had Matty run his first major.
Right, Matěj Belček won the Czech Adventure Golf Masters this year. It was his first major victory. He's won many tournaments before, but has never managed to win a major. So we were all very happy for him. And in particular, we think this might be the beginning of a winning streak. So Matěj is going to be hugely interesting to watch in 2023, and maybe even to talk to on this podcast somewhere at the beginning of 2023. So we look forward to that.
Yeah, and well, we could have been looking at Matty, then we all immediately got distracted by Alexander Malinov, who has his own brand of electric mini golf and is a huge personality. I've yet to meet him. I can't wait as soon as possible, hopefully. To those of you that have met Alex, how do you find him? How is he as a competitor?
I have played with Alexander many times, and it's a hard competitor. Never gives up. I played him in the quarterfinal, I think in City Golf 4, and I was I think I was up with 2 strokes with 6 lanes left. And not 6 hard lanes, but you needed a nice shot to face them. And he ended up beating me by 1 after he aced all 6, and I missed 3 or 4 of them. But a little bit heartbreaking for me, but he's a nice, good player. And I think the first season he played, he took medal in the junior Europe championship in mini golf. So yeah, he's a really good player and fun to be around, and personality they have.
Okay, then, to finish us off, in first place winning the gold medal in the best of mini golf 2022 is the City Golf Tour. Congratulations to the City Golf Tour. At this point, we were going to call up the winner of first place to congratulate them. As it happens, Eddie, you came to this Christmas episode. Congratulations, first and foremost. Sevi and myself, we both went to a lot of the City Golf Tour in 2022. We both had an amazing time. Simon is already signed up to go to the first City Tour event in 2023, as well as Sevi and myself as well. Eddie, how do you feel about that? And can you also give us any gossip or what's to expect in the City Golf Tour 2023?
Oh, I'm shocked. Super fun, and great to get recognition from outside Sweden. Yeah, not much gossip to tell about the 2023 season yet. We're having a meeting in the beginning of January to plan the season. We have the where to play this decided. We have we're moving to Finland to have a competition in Finland this year. So it will be fun to go overseas. Even if it's not a big sea, but yeah, it will be super fun to move internationally, and hopefully we can keep growing even more.
Yeah, well, congratulations, and myself, Simon and Sevi, I'm sure we all certainly look forward to playing more city golf in 2023.
I cannot wait.
You're very welcome.
To finish off with our audience members' personal best of 2022. Pat, can you share with us your personal, maybe one moment that sticks out for you when you look back at this year?
Yeah, for me, despite my public criticisms of certain things, actually my Masters experience was definitely by far, and part of it was because I got to play some solid rounds with Vinette. She was there when I get to set a personal best on the Aloha South course. I finished the best I ever did. And talking about like playing with players, like having the chance to hang out and actually play some rounds with Greg Newport, Randy Reeves, past champions, you know, Greg's a perfect 18, and just some of the stories that Mr. Baird can tell in between rounds about his previous life is eye-opening and really awesome content to never share to anybody else. So that whole time, I just loved it. The weather was perfect. The people were great. And so despite what we may say publicly on other things about certain aspects, it was that was my highlight of the year.
Great times. I really enjoyed that, putting with you.
Eddie, what about yourself? Have you got one moment from 2022 that sticks in your mind?
Yeah, well, I managed to beat you all competitions we played against each other. So that's... big kudos to me, I think.
It's not as big as you might
think. Well done, Eddie.
Yeah,
I thought you were talking about like good accomplishments. Like, yeah, that's
Well, one thing I really loved this year, being part of the City Golf Tour and played almost all of them, been on site for every one of them, but the number of international players. Keep going to Sweden, getting to know them, and see how the tour evolves internationally. It's super fun.
All right, Tom, then round us off 2022.
Well, as I alluded to earlier, I'm kind of a novice to competitive mini golf, and I thought it would take me a pretty long time to win a tournament. And after kind of a rough start to 2022 with my father passing, we put on a tournament about a month later and went into it with sort of a free spirit. It's like, we'll see what happens, first time happening. And I won it. I won against players that I had not won. And I was most proud because my wife makes some of our trophies, and we do that for all of our tournaments, these amazing little laser cut things that she designs. And so I have that in my office, and it felt like a good turnaround for the year. Had some like accomplishments that I thought it would take me much, much longer to get to, being part of a Four Nations Cup team on putt 18 and having some putt 18 accomplishments and just finishing well. Like, you guys, as I think I had said previously, were the impetus to me going to the red putter. You said I was going. I think I put it on, like, Facebook event. And I was like, I guess I'm going to go. It's only a 5.5-hour drive from Minnesota to Wisconsin. And I felt like really great. I played, you know, some practice with the pros and, you know, that I'd play the Masters and do really well and held my own and finished, I think, better than I could have ever imagined. So yeah, the getting the first place and then just kind of having some good results. I kind of expect it to be a roller coaster, but it was a nice, little milestone for me to have this early.
Okay, so as we close the book on this year, I have a couple of things to say. We did do a Christmas competition to give away a Putt 18 mat where we assembled a mini golf Christmas choir. In the show notes, you'll find a link to the answers, who was in the choir, and it's really interesting because we had some sort of blast from the past in there, and also who won the Putt 18 mat. So if you go to the show notes, you can watch the video about that. I'd also like to say thank you to the audience here today for helping make this episode so special. And also thank you to everyone who's helped us over the year. The reason that we do this podcast is to spread the word, spread the news about mini golf. So thank you to everyone who's helped us with that mission, whether that be people coming onto the podcast to be interviewed and sharing their stories, or people who give us feedback, people who engage with us on Facebook and share it with their friends. So thank you to everyone who's helped us this year. Simon, any final words to round us out?
Yeah, I just want to thank every single person that has listened to the podcast, who has given us feedback, who has got involved, or even just spread their own brand of mini golf media. Because for me, this was the year that we all started to talk about the game and to talk about how the game develops and to think a little bit bigger than just playing our local tournaments. And in our own way, me and Andrew have done this little corner of what we do. And it's amazing that any of you have given us any time at all. And we've loved talking to you. And I've loved every single minute of it, genuinely. I particularly like the fact that Andrew edits it and I don't have to. So, yeah, massive thanks for that, Andrew. And yeah, can't wait for next year. Can't wait to see you all out in the courses. Yeah, fantastic. Love the game. Love you all. Thanks. Have a good Christmas.
So, with that said, it's goodbye from everyone in our audience. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, Tom.
Bye.
Bye.
It's goodbye from Simon.
Goodbye from me. Look forward to listening to... I'm going to do that again. It's goodbye from me, and I look forward to having you all listen next year. We have some massive guests. I can't even believe how big some of who we have next year is. Cannot wait. Have a good Christmas.
And it's goodbye from me. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you in 2023. Goodbye.